Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
I know we have just a few moments here. Worship. You can hear Shayna. She's an all-out kind of woman. I love it. You can feel her wholeheartedness. But I could feel the heart of all of us in this room. And I just want to say I admire your passion for God. It makes me encouraged, excited to be able to follow God with you. And on this journey of following God, I know that we love real, we love authentic, and I can feel God making us more real and more authentic. And it starts with our yes, you know, it's the beginning, but then it's our life. It's like a whole nother level of all in is when you get up in the morning or when you are just at your house, when you're alone, when you're with people. I mean, it's an all in kind of thing. And we get the opportunity to see each other in portions of our journey. And I greatly value that. But I really feel God calling us to another level. You know, we're alive, we're breathing, we're always going to be growing and changing. It's just part of life. And in this season, I can see and I can feel the stretching of God. And he's expanding us and growing us. And that's what I want to talk about. And this is really a kind of a message of encouragement of what I see God doing, but also I want to encourage us and challenge us to go in just a little bit deeper into that all-in space. And just talking about how do we grow, and I have my first slide up there, but we grow. How do you grow muscles? You have to have some level of resistance. Guys, this is not the easy thing. You know, you start your new year out with a new year resolution and challenge, and then you go to the gym, you know, and that's a whole different thing. Like having the desire is like, yes, this is amazing. Emotion is amazing. And then you get into the physical and like, actually, this means work. It's true. There's so many things that we talk about in church that are so like, yes, this is so cool, emotional, blessing. I love blessing. And then you're like, God gave you a big house. Do you know how many rooms you get to clean? Like there is reality to the things that we talk about. Like, do you know what blessing means? We're going to remodel. What you could have remodeled for 5,000 is going to take you 100,000 now because you have that many more windows. You have that much more stuff. Blessing and increase is awesome. And I know the Lord has that for us, but he's so kind. He grows us so that we could carry it. He grows us so that we could be authentic and true and real in this whole journey of everything that we said during worship, but we're going to live that out. And I want us to be authentic and true. I want us to be wholehearted, that our lives would be a sweet fragrance to the Lord. Even our attitudes. I mean, that even kind of makes me, ooh, a little nervous because I have my own attitude. It's not just you. Like, I'm a human being as well. I get hungry and then I have to decide how I'm going to act. I mean, we're just real life. I get tired. And am I pleasing to the Lord in that space? I get fearful. How do I respond and act? Fear does not bring the best thing out in us generally. God is expanding us and growing us, church. And you can barely see my weights in there, but I just want to say that I can feel and see weight being put on your life. And in it, we all get to respond differently as we're lifting and resisting stuff. But God is always going to build stuff in us in that space. And then maturing. As we grow, he's maturing us. And maturity, think about maturity, it takes time. It takes time and it's a process, but he's so kind that he lets us go through process. So if you're on the journey and you feel discouraged at all, I want to take a moment. When you are challenged and you're going through hard things, Bishop Garlington was speaking once and he was talking about hard things, but things that later on are funny. And he goes, I just decided that if it's going to be funny later, it's funny now. And so I'm just going to laugh now. And I'm like, that's awesome. But I would say the same is true about hard things. When we're going through really hard things, when we know what it's going to develop in us, we're going to be thankful. So if I'm going to be thankful later, I'm going to be thankful now. So I'm just going to say, why don't you even turn to your neighbor and say, I choose to be thankful now. This is a choice, you guys, because this is not emotion. Like when you're going through hard things, I was talking to one of my daughters and she was sharing about how hard the last couple of years have been for her. But I'm like, I am so impressed with who you are. I am so proud of who you are. You are dynamic. You're a woman of character. And she is such a wise woman. But I tell you, she went through some years, some hard years. And then we were both talking, but isn't it cool what you grew in all of those spaces? I don't know that God can grow us in easy things and hard things, but I tell you, what develops in us in hard places is priceless. So since we know that, when you're going through hard things, what if we were just thankful? Even to say, this is a little scary, this is hard, and I'm going to say thank you, God, because I know you're growing something inside of me. He's making us more true, honest, authentic, and he's expanding us. One of the things my biggest thing, if I was going to say, gosh, what's one thing I could grow in? What's the wisest thing for us to grow in? And I would say this morning, it's the knowledge of God and the fear of God. Yeah. Out of all the things that we could learn more about, it's the knowledge and fear of God. And I want to share Proverbs verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And you can see I bolded a couple of the words in here, and they're all action words. And we're like, well, how do you actually grow in knowledge? And I want to say that even this these set of verses give us a good pathway. And I hear heart posture, because of course you grow in knowledge. Like, how do I get to know someone? Oh, you have experience, you're around them, you learn. But I see heart posture and treasure my commands within you. Like, not that we just learn and know about God, but we have a heart posture to value who he is, value what he says, that we incline our ear, we're actually going to listen when he speaks. Don't you guys all want to hear God? Yes. But what do you do when you hear him? I'm just going to go back to bed. I'm tired. Maybe I should write it down. Wait, should I steward this a little bit more? Maybe I should take time to pray about it. Did I think about it after I heard it? And then, oh, wait, I think the Holy Spirit just nudged me. I feel like I should go do this. Nah, I'm not going to listen to it. I would rather sleep. Or I'd rather keep my $5 in my pocket. But you know when you get those, your heart starts to beat and you have this idea in your head and you like, I don't know where this came from, but it really is about blessing somebody else right now. Probably the devil, you know. But we get to decide what we do when those times come. And it all pushes us and moves us in one direction or the other. And right here, I'm so encouraged because it's like this pathway of actually how do you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God? It begins with a heart posture. I remember when I was pregnant with our first daughter and I was so excited to have a baby. But I'm like, I wonder what this baby's going to be like. You know, I'm like, what if they just want to read books all day? What will I do? Because I like to have fun and I want them to jump on beds and run around and be crazy. But what if I have a really just a calm child? I won't know what to do. And so, but this baby inside of me was always active. And specifically when I slept, it was like the baby was always moving. We went to the appointment where you have a sonogram and they're going to tell you what the gender is of your baby. And we go in there and I kid you not, the whole time she's running like this, running, running in every direction. They're like, I'm so sorry. We can't tell what kind of child you have. So we didn't know she was a girl until she came out because she was just really active. So I got to know a little bit about her from the time that she was inside of me. And then she was true to her nature. She was extremely active. She was walking by 9 months old. At her year party, she had Vans on, was running around the house. And I meet other one-year-olds and they're just crawling around and happy. And I'm like, do your kids walk? No, no, they're not yet. I'm like, oh, wow, my child was like running full on like a little toddler. That's just who she is. But out of all the humans that I've ever known in life, I use my daughters as examples because I've probably been around them the most out of everyone in my whole life. Their first 5 years of life, I was with them all the time. I chose not to work because I just wanted to be with them. But when you're with someone that much, you have a lot of time and experience. That's how you get to know people. And then you have a heart to know them. So you're like looking and listening and you're inquiring. And I got to learn so much about them that even when they started talking and we would be out, or even with Eric. Eric is a dad. He's with us all the time, a lot of the time, but not all the time. But I have to be interpreter to their father for them. As they get older, they're talking, and makes sense to me. He's like, what did they say? Well, what she's saying is, and even though we both had a heart posture to know them, I was around them so much, and I would even have to give Eric their seasons, like mom and dad, you guys have probably experienced before, where I know them so well, and they're like, no, I want mom. And I'm like, gosh, I need to make Eric the rock star. And so he would come in, and I would go, give this to Selah. She loves this. And then he would go in there and she's like, oh, I love it. You know, she would love it. And sometimes, even though we are around people and know them, there's different degrees of knowing. And there's different, so like the knowledge of God, however much we know, I know that there's more, church. There's more. And I can hear our passion, and I love passion, but I do believe God is so kind that he's letting us go into a process of maturity. And in that, I believe there's pushing of weight, and there's resistance. And a lot of that comes in spaces of character, too. It's character. And because he's so kind, he grows us in all of those spaces. So we grow in knowledge. And then Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, there is two different kinds of fear. There's first the fear of apprehension of evil that normally leads to flight or fight. Like, I am afraid of that. I'm going to have to fight or just run away from it. And then there's actually a fear that's more of awe and a deep respect and a knowledge of who someone is. And that's what I think it was Adam just talking about, or Shana, talking about the power of God. Like, what happens when you encounter the power of God? It is undoing. It's surprising. It's actually, there's a fear. And when we were talking about the reckless love of God, that's what I can tell you. I have a fear of God in that space. There's like this deep awe because I've never encountered a love like that before. Like, it's a love that just stops me in my tracks of like, oh, I actually don't want to violate that. And I want to live in a way that actually honors that because I've never known anything like that. And I've never been chosen to that degree ever before. And so wholeheartedly. And so I want to live wholehearted before the Lord. And we're all going to give an account one day. Like, this is where things get real. It's not just us in worship, and we know that, but in a charismatic space where we're passionate for God, I want us to be wholehearted and true all the way through. That even the way my kids experience me at home, either way my neighbor or my coworkers or my husband, that's when stuff gets real. And I feel like God's inviting us into this space that we would know him and fear him in every area. In knowing, like in our head, in our heart, our experience, we'd also have the posture we actually incline our ear, that we would treasure his commandments. What are his commandments? Do I know them? That's why we're taking time and had Reva teach a class on methods to study the word, because we want to be in the word. We want to be solid and build our lives on a strong foundation, not just our experiences, not just how we feel, but actually knowing God and fearing God. And this is another thing I just want to encourage us in. As I see us stepping in and going deeper into the things of God, you know, there's times I can see it in our services, even when we just get even more free and more wild. Sometimes Shana's the one leading, like up on stage, and we're dancing, and stuff actually comes off of us in spaces of worship. We've had times where we're praising God, and we go into new spaces as a body, and I love that. So freedom, I am all for freedom. As I've encountered God and I've known him, I've been set free from things, and I love freedom. I will always choose freedom. But one thing that I've experienced, but I've also seen in us as Christians, so Christians means we're following Christ. As we're following Christ, I've seen people say, oh, but I'm free. I'm not going to change for that person because I'm free. I'm like, okay, so I feel you're very powerful in that, but let's break that down. I'm not going to change for that. I'm like, cool, okay. Where's the gospel in that? In our freedom, what is the center of it? And that's where I feel like stuff gets mixed and we don't realize it because we're following Christ and we're so passionate and zealous for him that we're so free that we have to protect ourselves and preserve ourselves in our freedom. But that isn't anything about the gospel. That's like the gospel mixed with a little bit of selfish ambition. And I say this out of the most humility because I am not excusing myself from this. And there, so please don't hear judgment. I'm putting this and talking to myself as much as anyone here. But I can feel God calling us to a higher place. But in that space, we need to know the difference between spirit and flesh. And there is a difference. Galatians 5. So the whole chapter of Galatians, I feel like, is for us. Chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And I would say it's time to grow up. This is Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in it, the Galatians, it's that we're not justified by our works, but it's actually by faith. He's talking to the Galatians. And he gets to Galatians 5, and he talks about freedom. And it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself," which is huge because you know why he's talking about the law? It's because that's what justifies us. We do all the right things. We get circumcised, like we are good with God. But actually it says it's all the law is fulfilled. All the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. This is crazy. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is a total switch on everything. We're justified by faith. But how important it is, everything that we're experiencing, everything we have in Christ, the freedom that we have was, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And this flesh is not talking about, oh, our skin and the things that is around our bones. But the flesh that this is talking about is actually a word called sarx. And it's called sarx and refers to the sinful state of human being, often presented in opposition to the spirit. So what's the difference between spirit and flesh? If flesh is sinful nature, if flesh is selfishness, our corrupt nature, the desire of the sarx and the desire of the spirit are in conflict with each other. And I like us being aware of this because even as we're growing in Christ and we're growing in freedom, when do we have selfishness intermixed in us as we're growing? We need to be aware of that because just because we say yes to God doesn't mean it's all done. Like we are still on a journey and we said yes. We were saying, okay, the old man died. We have a new man. But how much of us are like, we're just going to keep carrying that new man on a little bit. And as we're saying yes to him and we're getting more authentic, more true, more whole, there's part of us that still needs to die. And you can tell. And you can tell by the things that we're interacting with, by the stuff that is coming up in our lives. And this is a pastoral kind of word because I get the opportunity to work with so many of you. And I just want to say that we're all people, we're all humans, and I see flesh everywhere. I experience it in myself, but that means we all have an opportunity. This is a word to just go, can I challenge us to keep saying yes to him in our passion, in our worship in our song, but also in our lives. When we get up in the morning, when we're on road trips, when we're cleaning our yard, when we're, I don't know, whatever it looks like, when you go pick up your kids and then you got to figure out how to get them home for lunch and it's just maybe everyone's a little hungry and on edge. Like what comes out of you? There's a Cherokee legend about two wolves. You probably have heard it before. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He says, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the boy. "It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you and inside every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. So we know that we are spirit, but we also are made of, we have flesh in us as well. Which one are we feeding? Because that's whatever we feed is going to get stronger. Whatever we fear is going to get obeyed. And whatever we value gets lived out. And so I know we fight our battles in worship. And what we choose to partner with, what we choose to partner with, truth, lies. We choose to partner with protect me, protect you. We choose to partner with who's the center of everything. And I would say anything that puts you at the center, I would question it and just spend a little more time and say, God, is this you? Because, see, he loves us, and we are the aim, but we're not the end goal. Like, it was never meant just to stop with us. We are valuable. It doesn't stop here, but it's from that space that we give and we prefer, and that's what maturity looks like, is you can wait and actually prefer someone else. It's just, you see it in the daily. You see it in the real. The last, going through chapter 5, after it talks about the ways of the flesh, then it goes into the spirit. And I want to read Galatians 5, 22 through 24. And we know this, we can probably recite it. But I want us just to listen. Could we incline our ear to hear God and to treasure him, what he's saying? Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Great words, super encouraging and clear, but it's another thing to live out. In my prayer, I loved it when Katya was here, she said, my prayer is that we would all experience supernatural fruit. And these are things that we're not going to get unless we have more of God. And so as church, as we lean into God and know more about him and fear him, let us be full of his spirit. Let us learn to walk in his spirit. Why don't you stand with me? And so then I ask, how do we know if we're walking in the spirit? How do we know if we are walking in the flesh? And even looking at this last verse I read, it said, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So much of this stuff you can tell by how we interact with each other. And so the questions that I have are, how are your relationships? And I'm talking all relationships. How are you in relating to other people? These are easy ways to just kind of check in with, how am I doing? So as we say yes to God and lean into him, even today, I want us just to end by just taking a moment just to check in with yourself, but even asking God, is there any areas that I need to lay down or even die that I've been walking in the flesh, that I've been the center of things and it hasn't been your spirit? God's so good and kind. He will guide us, especially when we ask questions. Because we know we're not supposed to, we have desires, but we need his help to walk this out. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll wrap this up. Yeah, so God, thank you for your heart for us. I thank you for what we have.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.